is the Cranium Report. The unusual, weird news, anomalies, exopolitics. It's beyond the fringe, where conspiracy theory can become conspiracy fact. This is the Cranium Report with your host, Mike Evans.
From hundreds of miles beneath terra firma in the depths of the hollow earth, that's right, my friends, you know what time it is. Broadcasting from that dark disquiet known as the Mohorovic discontinuity, I am Micah Hanks, the mouth of the South, and you, my friends, have locked in to the one, the only, the Cranium Report for a special Election Day live coverage edition of the program. We're going to be providing you with live coverage as all the battleground states are reporting back from the polls. That's right. Out here on the East Coast, a lot of the polls are already closed and reporting. We're still waiting for the West Coast right now. And in addition to weird news, anomalistics, and all that good stuff that you tune in to hear about each week on this program, you're also going to be getting live election coverage. It's our duty as citizens of the Moho to bring this information to you from your favorite alternative news source, the Cranium Report. I'm Micah Hanks, joined in studio as always by producer Chris Hayes. Chris, how are you this evening?
Well, I'm doing well, Micah. I'm a little up in arms about this whole election thing. I just don't know what to think.
Before the evening's out, I predict that you're going to be issuing apologies to our listeners. Matt, the Reverend Oakley, our engineer, is always keeping us on the air here in the studio. How are you tonight, Matt?
I'm great. I'm enthusiastic, more so than Chris is, I think, but it may not sound like it.
Well, I just hope that between the two of you tonight don't manage to Cranium-ate all of the listening audience. Actually, that's precisely what we want you to do. We will be bringing live election coverage, okay, throughout the evening, in addition to weird news, anomalistics, and, of course, all the stuff that you tune in on a weekly basis to hear, that weird news from beyond the fringe that makes this program so special. You know, it's a closely divided electorate right now. There are people who are worried about the economy and the direction that our country is headed. And people countrywide, from coast to coast, decided to go to the polls today to help decide the outcome of what many... They always say this, but they're indeed saying that this is what could be the most important presidential race in recent history. Now, a lot of folks out there were early voters. As a matter of fact, I know that our producer, Chris Hayes, since he tends to be busy behind the scenes working on things relating to this program, you were an early voter.
That's correct, yes.
Matthew and I, on the other hand, were old-fashioned about things, and we waited until today. It's a tradition for me to get up on Election Day, okay, go to the ballots on Tuesday, go sign in, find out what they've messed up, because it seems like every 4 years there's been some sort of a problem with a relocation issue, or they've got the wrong address, or whatever. Find out where I'm supposed to be. I get there in time. I vote. The lines weren't long at the polls this morning. And actually, they said, well, that's probably because of so much of the early voting, although they said that early this morning, if you'd come down here at 8 a.m., you wouldn't have believed how long the lines were. I think for a lot of people, it's almost a family tradition. I know for me, as long as I've been able to vote, okay, the first election that I actually was able to vote in was the George Bush John Kerry election. Okay,
That was the first election I was able to vote in.
That's right. Yeah, we're newbies, really. Okay, neophytes, if you will, and yet somehow we have amassed knowledge of the political system that many it would take several lifetimes to be able to harness. Okay. And that's why you tune in, of course, to listen to a program like the Cranium Report, because we are your light in the darkness, your only sense of reason, perhaps, in an unreasonable world. And it is indeed an unreasonable world out there. You know, a lot of people are saying, what's the point in going to the polls? What's the point in voting at all? One of these guys is bad, the other one's worse. Well, you know, there's actually a third guy. Who is it? What's his name? Gary Coleman, right? He's the other guy that's running, correct? Is that right, Matt?
I'm pretty sure.
Gary Coleman, right? He was an actor once.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the other guy who's running on the
librarian ticket?
The librarian ticket, that's right. Gary Coleman on the librarian ticket is the other candidate.
Although I'm pretty sure Gary Coleman is in no way qualified to be a librarian or even talk about the Dewey Decimal System.
So you think he's small?
You're baiting me, sir. That is a typical anti-librarian party move to bait. And you know what? I'm not playing into your cards.
Look, I'm a master. Well, never mind. Anyway, listen. I'll just tell you this, folks. It's getting hot out there. Early results are already coming in from some of the strongly Republican to Democratic states, okay, these real battleground states. We're in a swing state down here in North Carolina. And the two hot ones everybody's going to be watching tonight, Ohio and Virginia. Okay? As I understand it, Mr. Barack Obama, our current president, could carry the election with either of those. But, you know, there hasn't been in recent history a Republican that has won an election that didn't win Ohio. And for Mitt Romney to take the presidency, as I understand, he's going to have both those states, Ohio and Virginia. And everybody's got their eye right now on Ohio. We're going to be having our eye on Ohio just as well. And, of course, if you would like to join the program and share your thoughts, we'll open the phone lines shortly so that you can chime in. You can email us anytime, info@graylingreport.com. Send us a text message, 828-367-7201. To reach the program via text message, that'll send your SMS messages directly to the bunker. And we'll go ahead and put the telephone line out to you just as well. But you can find it www.graylingreport.com/radio-show. If you go to that page, or just go to Grayling Report and look on the right-hand side of the column, at the top of the page, the little toolbar there, you'll see Grayling Report on the radio, and that has all the call-in information and ways that you can reach us here on the program. But that number is 828-398-4886. A little later in the program, we'll be taking a few phone calls. Who knows? We have an international audience. You never know who might call into a program like this. And I actually got an email in the early hours of the morning from Tom Danheiser, okay, the producer of Coast to Coast AM. You know, he was probably still on the air when he sent me this email. And he was saying he wanted to catch up and talk and go over a few things. And, of course, that Coast to Coast would indeed be doing, get this, our friends over at Coast to Coast AM will be doing a five-hour post-election wrap-up tonight. That's right. They're going to be starting at the normal time, and then George, Tom, and the rest of the fine folks at Premier Network will be broadcasting for an additional hour until we get all the election information in, because we're expecting this is going to be a long, drawn-out process. You know, Chris, some people are even saying it could be a tie.
Yeah, there are people saying it could be a tie. There are also people saying Cthulhu for president. But
Those weren't tentacles. That was actually Giorgio Tsoukalos's hair.
Oh, well, yeah. But, I mean, they've been saying Cthulhu for president for the past 50 years. And by God, you know, he's no longer eligible. He's not even a national. He just, I mean, come on. You don't vote an elder god in. Whatever happened to separation of church and hate?
Hey, man, respect your elder gods. Can we make a T-shirt? Matt, can you get on that for us?
Yes.
Respect your elder gods.
What ticket was Cthulhu running on?
Probably the Thonic one.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
yeah.
Cthulhu 2012. Why vote for the lesser evil?
Yeah, exactly.
I think it was the Elder God ticket, actually.
Oh, well, there's so many Elder Gods. What is he going to have, a Gigantor Penguin as his running mate?
Maybe so. You know, I've been trying to follow the news all evening, and we do have some weird news for those of you who hate listening to politics. A lot of people tune into this program to get away from it, but let me just say, if this is indeed what all the pundits, okay, I can think of another P word, actually, that might apply to a lot of these people on the mainstream news programs, and it's not peons, no, it's phonies! Well, yeah, all those phonies. If we wanted to believe what all these phonies out there are saying, they'd have us believe that this is indeed the most important election of all time. Really, I don't know that America's going to change all that much depending on, you know, either of the two key candidates and whether or not they're elected. If we're to buy what Alex Jones would have to say, really, they're all puppets of the Illuminati, right? Puppets of the reptilian hybrid humanoids that have been feeding on our hind ends.
You gotta throw the scream in there. Come on, get gratuitous with it.
Matt, I gotta work myself up to that. I haven't worked myself up to that scream yet, okay? I've been losing so much sleep. My back's actually really sore right now. I've been losing a lot of sleep over this election.
Maybe you shouldn't sleep, like, with your top half off the bed. You know, the whole thing.
Maybe I shouldn't fall asleep face down in my living room looking at Twitter. Oh, man.
What, do you have something against Twitter now?
No. Apparently,
you anti-librarian people, I swear.
Apparently we're all on Twitter, actually, is the thing.
Oh, we're all on Twitter? I was under the assumption that the kind-eyed reverend was such a technophobe,
you know,
he wasn't on Twitter.
I've been on Twitter for quite some time now. Graylian Report, thanks to our producer Chris Hayes, has been on Twitter for quite some time. And actually, Paraskeptical here, that's right, the producer himself, Chris Hayes, has been on Twitter for quite some time. But, you know, we were recently joined by, yes, our engineer, Matthew Oakley, who finally was peer pressured into getting on Twitter. Matt, how can folks follow you on Twitter?
Yeah, I'm under the handle Graylian Reverend. So, yeah, get out there and find me. I finally, you know, buckled under Chris's ever constant just barrage of techno hate speech.
If you tweet him, he will go ad nauseum on about how much he in fact hates Twitter and therefore hates you for having Twitter and tweeting him. But you know, it's all for the sake of you know, the human species.
Chris,
what are these guys talking about?
You constantly misrepresent what I have to say. I did not say.
Meanwhile, as they talk amongst themselves and keep going back and forth, the rest of us out here in Graylian land enjoy ourselves listening, learning, laughing at Matt and Chris as they go back and forth.
Possibility.
Isn't this hilarious? Let's tune back in.
I only said that there is a possibility for horrible change in our future if we do not progress.
What we're actually witnessing is a rare breeding. It's a rare mating ritual between these two. This only occurs underground. Oh, wait. We're seeing action. Here we go.
So really what I'm hearing here is that you think the internet was created by some subterranean fallen angel and you don't like it. You know that's just
Hey guys, I'm going to have to interrupt. You know, we're going to have to leave that discussion to Scotty Roberts, all the fallen angel stuff, okay? Since Scotty's a wacko and we all know that. At least according to skeptics like PZ Myers. I do want to point in though that you listen, okay, a lot of the polls, in fact, polls in six states closed as of 7 p.m. out here on the East Coast. Okay. Early projections were already saying that Mitt Romney was carrying Indiana and Kentucky. Get this. Apparently, it's projected that Barack Obama would be carrying Indiana. Is that correct? Look at
yes,
this.
Yes, that is correct. That was correct.
He was also carrying Vermont.
Mm-hmm. Who's carrying Vermont?
That's Barack Obama. And we're waiting right now. They're saying Virginia presently is just too close to call. But, of course, that's going to be one of the ones that we're hoping to watch throughout the evening. You know, something we like to do on the Graylian Report, and we're well known for this, is we like to feature the commentary of our listening audience and field correspondents just as well. You know, a quick shout-out to Jessica Backham, one of our fantastic field correspondents, who was actually live on scene, okay, at an Obama rally in Des Moines, Iowa last night, okay? We are nonpartisan here at the Graylian Report. We do not pick sides. We are real, pure, true alternative news. But I love it when we've got field correspondents, whether it's covering the release of the West Memphis 3 or actually being in the field researching Fortean and ufological phenomena, whether it's bringing you an event like the Paradigm Symposium or sending our field correspondents out to political rallies the night before one of the largest elections in recent history. We're bringing it to you. We're there. We're on scene, and we're proud to be a part of it. And so, Jessica, many kudos to you for providing not only a bit of commentary, but also some photography, which was featured at a post there at graylianreport.com. If you want to check that out, we had a few thoughts that we put up early this morning about the way that the election might end up going. You can check that out. And, of course, we put it out to our listeners just as well. What do you think? First up from our field correspondent a little south of the border, none other than Mr. Red Pill Junkie, who is a little, ever since Paradigm Symposium, a little more involved with the web endeavors that we put out there. You'll be seeing a lot more of Red Pill Junkie at graylianreport.com. RPJ writes, to my American friends, remember two things. One, that whoever gets elected for what is still the most important job on the planet, that person will be the president for all citizens of the United States, not just the ones who voted for him. Number two, casting your ballot is not the end of your democratic job as a citizen. It is merely the beginning. Wise words from a man who we would consider, I don't know if he would necessarily want to be called an American citizen. I don't know. But he's certainly a friend here in the Moho. Bill writes in, after 2 years of campaigning, I don't think our president ever actually stopped campaigning after his election, I have no good feelings about any of the candidates. No president can do the things that the candidates claim that they do, for there will always be a House of Representatives and a Senate who will say, no, you can't. No president can take us back to the 1950s or ahead into the 2050s, because no matter how effective he or she is, the Mayan calendar will still run out this December. Best, Bill. You know, I hope Bill's not correct. As I've said many times on this program, if the Mayans do end up being right about that, I'm in for a world of hurt because, of course, my book, The UFO Singularity, will not be hitting the shelves in stores nationwide until December 22nd. And, of course, the Mayans are postulating that the world will actually end on December 21st. Of course, I knew that, being the gambling guy that I am. Well, you know, you have to be a bit of a gambler to do that kind of a thing, to put a book out the day after the end of the Mayan calendar. And, of course, we're going to be gambling with you all night as election re-election. Raelian elections. Oh, you know what we're talking about. It's election coverage live on the Graylian Report. I'm Micah Hanks. Stay tuned. Light in the Darkness, broadcasting from the dark depths of the Mohorovic discontinuity. I'm Micah Hanks, the mouth of the South. We are talking the Deep South, and this, my friends, is the Graylian Report. Sounds like South Carolina's gone to Mitt Romney. And, of course, we'll be bringing you live election coverage throughout the evening, along with your favorite weird news from beyond the fringes of Fortiana. Perhaps the fringes of sanity, for that matter. We're so glad to So, of course, be your light in the darkness. I'm Micah Hanks, joined in studio with Chris Hayes and Matt Oakley. You know, it's going to be a long evening. I think we're all just kind of settling back into our seats, just waiting to see where things are going to go. I do want to get to a few news stories eventually throughout the evening, but I think since there are so many people out there who are eager and chiming in on the program and on the conversation this evening, we'll go ahead and we'll open up the phone lines. It's 828-398-4886. You can also reach us via Skype. Our handle is Graylian Report. That's G-R-A-L-I-E-N Report. Graylian Report on Skype is one way you can reach us in addition to the phone lines. If you'd like to text message us, it's 828-367-7201. That is a special line which we reserve solely for SMS text messages. And of course, as always, for those of you who prefer the emails, you can do info@graylianreport.com. Send a little message along to us. And of course, we're going to be probably, I should go ahead and put this out to you. Tonight, we're not certain which direction the format may take us, okay? There are a lot of possibilities, potentialities. We're going to do the regular two-hour broadcast, and then at 10 p.m. Eastern time, there's still going to be a lot of states reporting. As a matter of fact, 10 p.m. is about the time that we're going to be seeing. That's right. Yeah, we're watching the updates as they're happening right now on our live stream here in the studio. What we're actually probably going to be seeing is right around the time we finish our official broadcast for this evening, and thereby the podcast that people will download and listen to. We're going to be seeing the polls closing on the West Coast. And so the Graylian Report will probably take a brief hiatus to catch up on the latest news that's coming in. We'll be featuring some best of audio in the meantime, and then we'll be jumping back on probably close to the bottom at the top of the hour, okay, following that, which is the 30-minute mark and then the 1-minute mark at the top of the following hour, for all of those who haven't worked in radio like we have for hundreds and hundreds of years. And then we're going to be bringing you the latest updates. And then, okay, at 1 a.m., okay, 1 a.m. East Coast time, Coast to Coast AM, we'll be picking up, and George Norrie will be featuring live election updates throughout the evening. And then Coast to Coast, normally a four-hour broadcast, will be featuring a very special fifth hour. So we're proud to be able to announce that to folks, that you can tune in for that extra hour. They're going to be starting at the regular time and then adding an additional hour. I'm not certain where this will be carried, you know, what stations in your area may be carrying that extra fifth hour, because it may conflict with or coincide with other scheduled programming. I know that First Light, for instance, is a popular radio program that many of the stations, you know, out there, especially Clear Channel radio stations and the like, will be carrying. That starts at around, I believe, 5 a.m. Okay, so we'll see. I know that George, Tom Danheiser, and the fine folks over there at Premier Network will be going into the wee hours of the morning and probably well into the waking hours, probably until around sun up. And hopefully we'll have some sort of a determination by them. Really, it could go either way. Who knows? So again, the phone lines are now open, 828-398-4886. Skype us at Graylian Report. Text us at 828-367-7201. Info at Graylian Report for emails. And of course, you can always visit www.graylianreport.com for more information about how you can call into the program. You know, they're saying it's a razor-thin margin between these candidates right now. Some are even saying that, okay, despite the fact that there needs to be a set number of electoral votes that each get. What's the number again? Is it 270, Chris?
Yes, 270. And so far, I'm seeing they actually just updated the numbers. Barack Obama has 64 electoral votes, and Romney is still sitting at 40.
Now, this is projected, but this is reasonably going to be close.
Yeah, they just called in parentheticals Connecticut for Obama.
Okay. See, many of these states, it's kind of a, you know, kind of a shoe-in, okay? Like, South Carolina is typically always going to be a Republican state, all right? You know, you're going to see different states that are going to lean one way or another, and then there are, of course, the swing states that could kind of go either way. Some of the big swing states include North Carolina, okay? We've also got to believe Nevada. Of course, Ohio and Virginia are going to be the key states that everyone's going to be watching tonight. It's very difficult for a Republican to win the seat of president and not carry Ohio. And so everyone's eyes right now at present are on Ohio, where, of course, Mr. Mitt Romney made stops along with Pennsylvania. These are two of these key swing states we're talking about before heading back to campaign headquarters in Boston, where I understand, I believe he was last night, and then he was picking it back up and campaigning again today. Before we get back to the typical news that you like to hear about here on this program, I want to put something out to people, because this is something that I actually did earlier this afternoon, prior to taking the air. I have a very dear friend, my BFF, okay, who I take to be a person who is maybe particularly intuitive about things. And I asked her, I said, who do you think is going to win the election? Now, I don't want to skew anybody's opinions out there, so I'm not going to tell you who she said was going to win. But she told me that she felt strongly that there was a potential for one of the candidates to win over the other. And she said, I'll tell you this too, I typically am very good with this sort of thing. If it has anything to do with the presidential election or the outcome of the Super Bowl, I'm usually not wrong. And so I'm always interested in hearing from people who say that they have a strong feeling one way or another that one candidate or the other may potentially win an election. That's interesting to me, okay? And a new study I found kind of has to do with this, okay? Because many, though they are skeptical of the use of such things as psychic powers or any ability to somehow predict the outcome of a circumstance extrasensory, okay, fashion, or in some sort of an extrasensory fashion, many say that this is scientifically impossible. But more and more people seem to be opening their minds to the possibility that by listening to your intuition, you might be able to predict future events. Maybe you can do it anyway because your body, get this, could be capable of predicting with such things as conscious clues. Okay, precognition, for all we know, might really exist, at least in some limited fashion, according to a new study of various other studies. Boy, how's that for redundant? Humans can anticipate near future events even without any evidence of the events to come, and apparently without even realizing it, it's on a subconscious level. One researcher has recently even hinted that quantum behavior might be involved. It's not necessarily extrasensory perception, but what we might call presentiment, and it could indeed very much be real, based on physiological cues that our biology still can't explain. It's something we've all experienced to some degree, like when you just know, for instance, that the driver in the lane next to you is about to get over in the right lane or swerve over in front of you. Or maybe when you can feel your boss is coming down the hall and you better look like you're busy and not, you know, reading the Graylian Report at your desk. Predicting the near future is actually very common, notes Julia Mossbridge, who is the lead author of a study and research associate at the Visual Perception, Cognition, and Neuroscience Laboratory at Northwestern University. If we see dark clouds and smell the sharp musk of rain, we can deduce that a storm is probably coming. It's the hole where there's this smoke, where there's this fire of logic, she says. But even without these sensory clues, humans can react preemptively. There's an unexplained anticipatory effect, according to Mossbridge's meta-analysis. She says human physiological measures anticipate what seem to be unpredictable future events by deviating from a baseline before an event occurs. Her study examines other studies that support this hypothesis and examine how people respond to various kinds of stimuli. They find a consistent anticipatory effect in various studies, according to the paper. There are several reasons why people seem to be able to predict what will happen, and authors say it could even be a sort of what you might call a sensory cueing, in which an experiencer gives something away. It could be a matter of inaccurate or sensor readings or various other kind of apparatus that are utilized in these sorts of studies. It could also come from other studies' data crunching, but that isn't enough to explain the consistent, observable, and yet anomalous anticipatory activity that Mossbridge quotes in her study. She says, "We can't explain it using present-day understanding about how biology works to date, though explanations related to recent quantum biological findings could potentially begin to make sense. Whatever is causing it, she believes the effect is clear, although no one can explain it. If this seemingly anomalous anticipatory activity is real, it should be possible to replicate in a multiple independent, or rather in multiple independent laboratories. The cause of this anticipatory activity, which undoubtedly lies within the realm of natural physical processes, remains to be determined. I find it very interesting when people say that, hey, you know what? I couldn't tell you how, but I do have a sixth sense. Somehow I am able to predict when Chris is going to raise his glass of ice water and jingle his ice cubes around in front of his microphone. Somehow I'm able to predict when Matt is going to have a pin launched into his left eye." He cringes. "Somehow I'm able to predict when people are going to call into the program." No, I'm kidding.
Well, speaking of calling into the program, I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm wondering if Matt can predict when the phone line is actually going to work. Because people say they can't call in.
Really? People are trying to call in and the phone line's not working. Well, Matthew, diagnose that for us, young man. Take a look. You know, I tell you, it's been the case lately, though, that, you know, some of our lines are of the digital variety. Of course, we do have a standard phone line hooked up here in the Moho just as well. But from time to time, I have noticed that when there is a large listenership, that's when the hijinks begin to occur. And so we'll hope to have the phone lines up and going here in mere moments.
And a quick update on the election. I'm sorry. Right now, the electoral votes are 78 for Obama and 76 for Romney. So far, a much closer race than most people have projected.
You know, early on, I think people were getting very excited, we'll say. And I think that the primary reason for their excitement may have had a lot to do with, with the early polls reporting, there was at first, and of course, this is kind of expected. There was a huge lead that we were seeing for Mitt Romney, but then again, of course, that's always going to be how it is at first. You know, when key, sometimes you know the key states again, the ones that become the most important are those so-called swing states. All right, people want to see what's happening with those swing states. North Carolina is a swing state. It could very well go to Romney. It could very well go to Barack Obama as well. I believe in the 2008 election that North Carolina went to Barack Obama. But you have only a minor fraction of the United States, especially which includes states like West Virginia and South Carolina, which are going to easily be handed to a candidate like Mitt Romney. Of course, you know, the initial numbers that are coming in are going to kind of favor one candidate over another. As we move our way westward, as the polls close across the rest of the nation, things are going to change quite a bit, and we're already seeing right now, I think that we're looking at the projected numbers being Obama 78 and 76 electoral votes for Mitt Romney. Again, either we'll need 270 to be able to carry the presidency, and it could go either way at this point. This is certainly going to be very interesting to see how this goes tonight. So we'll keep you up to date on things as we go about throughout the evening and, of course, bring you this live election coverage. But something else that I would be a bit interested in, just to say, I have to put this out there to folks. Have you ever felt like perhaps you had some sort of a sense that you could predict something? I think that we can look at numbers and we can make a logical guess as to where this election is going to go. But have you had a strong feeling that one candidate or the other might win? I'm not talking about you're sitting at home and you're watching CNN or Fox News or something like that, and you're watching where the numbers are going, and you're going to say, I'm going to put my prediction out there. This is who I think is going to win. No, again, I'm asking, have you had a sense, maybe for weeks, or maybe even for months now, that one candidate or the other will win? And if so, why do you feel that way? Do you have you had an actual intuitive sense that something may be going on and that one candidate may win over the other? I think everyone has a kind of an intuition about these sorts of things. Again, I don't know exactly, aside from the typical election coverage that will be going on throughout the evening, I'm not certain exactly what they have in store for us over there at Premier Network tonight. But George and the guys typically will like to get a psychic or someone on like that. I'll be interested to see who they have on the program later this evening, bringing information about what may be transpiring as the evening goes on. I don't consider that to be entirely woo. In fact, to use that term, woo. If anything, here at the Grayling Report, for the most part, we consider ourselves largely of the skeptical ilk. As a matter of fact, on the website there, at the Grayling Report website, I'll state to you, I am a skeptic. I'm a self-proclaimed skeptic. I'm not a self-righteous skeptic. I'm not a person who goes into an experience and has a preconception that, well, this variety of phenomena, whether it be ghosts or UFOs or whatever else, whatever it may be, I'm not going to go into a circumstance and say this couldn't exist and therefore I'm going to go into this as a skeptic and debunk it, despite whatever the evidence might actually present to us otherwise. I don't think that a good skeptic would ever do anything like that. No, I'm the kind of person who says, you know, I'm going to withhold any kind of judgment in the absence of hard evidence that clearly and distinctly shows without any question what we may or may not be dealing with when it comes to a variety of different kind of observable phenomena. I think that the good skeptic will do that. They won't come to a preconceived notion of what they may be dealing with without being armed with evidence. They will go into a circumstance, they will observe, and they will base their observations on what they study, what they experience, and not what they perceive something to be without having actually seen it. That's what I see a lot of what you could call them a number of things. Scotty Roberts calls them big S skeptics. I call them pseudo-skeptics. Then there are also, maybe you could say, the skeptical debunkers, or just, you know, people who are just as faith-based in their skepticism as the quote-unquote believers are in their belief. They don't have to have evidence. They just believe. I think a lot of skeptics don't... skeptics. We're just going to call them skeptics from now on. A lot of skeptics, though, do go into a circumstance without having any kind of evidence. They just have a prejudgment that, well, certain kinds of phenomena obviously don't exist. They may feel that it's because of certain kinds of scientific phenomena that have in the past disproven, for the most part, numerous times, and thereby, you know, evoking a bit of repeatability into the equation, equation. Whatever it may be, ranging from psychic phenomena to things like that. And of course, that's what we're talking about right now. Being a skeptic myself, I nonetheless cannot exclude the possibility that some people can have a sense for certain things that may be transpiring in the world around them, or in the world at large for that matter, and that they may have an ability to predict certain things before they actually happen. So if you've ever felt maybe that you were able to predict something like that, you're welcome to chime in with us on the program, especially if you have a feeling that maybe this election could go one way or another. I would be very interested to hear about that. Of course, I think we all would be here at the Grayling Report. With that, I think we're up on just about another break. When we come back from this one, we'll continue our coverage of this very strange, very close election. And, of course, we'll be getting to a little bit more weird news just as well. It is the Grayling Report. I'm Micah Hanks, broadcasting from hundreds of miles beneath the Earth's surface in the Grayling Bunker, that dark little corner of the web we call the Grayling Report. When we come back, more news and, of course, hopefully a little more bantering from our in-studio staff. Serving as our live panel here tonight on the Grayling Report, I'm Micah Hanks. Welcome back to the program. Trying our best to hang in there. It's been a rather long and grueling day. And unfortunately, our night is not over, but that's what we kinds of superhero types like to do. Truth, justice, and the American way. Well, at very least, the Grimerican way. That's right. Darren Grimes wrote in recently. He was one of our attendees at the Paradigm Symposium. I believe we'd had him on the program last week during our Paradigm Symposium wrap-up, and Darren affectionately wrote to say that, well, I must give props to Graham, my associate, who I rode down with. He drove back from Minneapolis because, well, I'd had a rough night the night before at the Mysterious Universe meetup. That's right. Benjamin Grundy and Aaron Wright, our friends from Mysterious Universe, who came all the way up from down under, that's right, Australia, to join us at the Paradigm Symposium, held a fantastic, well, what you'd call, I guess, a post-paradigm wrap-up party. It was a Mysterious Universe meetup there in the Twin Cities. And then they left from our event to go partake again in the city of New York. And then finally headed on home. You know, eventually we're going to have to team up with the gentlemen out there from Australia, the men from down under, Ben and Aaron. We've got to get something special going with those guys, whether it be, I don't know, a special seasonal broadcast that maybe the two factions come together and do, Ben and Aaron along with the Graylian Report. Chris, I'll let you figure out whatever we're going to do there. I'm sure it'll be smashing.
I believe we've already figured it out without you, Micah.
Have you already figured something out? Oh, have you got so? Okay, well, keep it a secret. Keep it safe.
Of course. I mean, I'm especially keeping it a secret from you, Micah, because the last person who needs to know when we're doing that is you.
These guys keep everything from me. I never know anything. I never know anything until the day of. Something else I want to point out, by the way. You know, I do notice it a bit more with one of the candidates rather than the other. That... When the mainstream news sources carry photos of either of the candidates, you know, they love to catch them in, like, in mid-screaming, squawking, you know, horrific facial contortions. Especially, I noticed this with Mitt Romney. You know, it's like they love to put the pictures up there that make these guys look as intense or as absurd, perhaps, as they possibly can. I've been seeing a lot of that this election season, and one fantastic instance of this sort of phenomena, if you will, occurred a few weeks ago where the photograph had shown Mitt Romney at a campaign stop, and he was bent over and he was shaking somebody's hand, and several feet behind him there was a schoolgirl who was looking down, obviously had nothing to do with Mitt Romney, who was several feet away from her. But the way that the camera angle looked, she was looking down and making a funny face, and of course, it was posted all over the web by mainstream news sources who didn't say a thing. They just included this photograph as the leading photograph in front of their news stories. And so some analyst was brought in who said, yes, indeed, we looked at this photograph, and it looks like this was probably a cheap shot taken against Romney to make him look humorous. You know, others would argue that Mitt Romney, on the other hand, maybe doesn't have to try and look humorous since the guy is, well, you know, and this is something a lot of folks have said, that Romney's a little awkward, you know? I'll give you a quick example, okay? So last night, Barack Obama was out there in Des Moines, Iowa. Of course, he's the big rock star president, you know? Doesn't matter if he's a good commander-in-chief or not, because he's a rock star, right? He's got Bruce Springsteen with him. He's got Jay-Z. Yeah. And, of course, Mitt Romney shows up without any rock stars at a campaign and then says this. He says, you'd have thought that we'd brought the Beatles with us with a campaign with a crowd showing up like this. The Beatles? I mean, can you get with the times? So here's the rock star over here who's bringing Bruce Springsteen and Jay-Z with him to campaign stops. Okay. I'm not saying that's either a good or a bad thing. I'll leave that up to the listeners.
Yeah, because I thought this was a nonpartisan discussion.
No, we are. I like to make fun of both parties. Have you noticed? I'm the guy who likes to hang in the middle and just throw tomatoes at both sides. You know, a lot of people, I have people on the left accusing me of being a hard right guy, and the people on the right accusing me of being a lefty.
So does that mean you just hate tomatoes? Is that what we're getting at, Mr. Hanks?
That's what it's all about! Tomatoes are akin to deadly nightshade, and I'll have none of them in this studio.
There you have it, Micah Hanks is a global warming denier.
Yes, exactly. I am. See, it's all clear. Chris is one of those special guys who can put the pieces together, you know? It takes a special kind of human being to be able to see the little bits of cosmic effluvium as they filter through the cracks of insight and enlightenment. That's why we like having Chris on this program. Yes, obviously. And you might as well go ahead and say I'm a racist, too, right? Exactly.
Well, you do like to run races.
I'm also, yes, I do race occasionally, so I'm a racist, I guess. And then, of course, also, I'm a person who is in favor of religious persecution, right? Come up with a good one here, too, Chris. Go ahead.
Well, I should hope so.
Oh, gosh. Since I advocate cosmic love and universal spiritualism, everyone thinks I'm a cult leader, and therefore... That I'm in league with, well, who knows what or...
Well, it's true.
Well, I mean, we may as well let everybody know now. We're slowly, slowly changing the format and the name of the show to The Raelian Report.
The Raelian Report. There you go. That's right. That's right. It's going to be, instead of Go Topless, it's going to be Go Graelian. Because, you know, the Raelian cult, okay, they're behind the whole GoTopless.org thing. Yeah. So we're going to be out there telling folks, go Graelian. By the way, we're watching our ABC News feed here. Tell me, is that Gwen Stefani there in studio who's giving election coverage? I don't think it actually is, but they've definitely...
No. I think that's Maureen Ellsbury.
No. Maureen Ellsbury. Yeah, I'm sure it's Maureen. Our good friend Maureen from Open Minds, the popular Spacing Out web series that features she and Jason McClellan, who, of course, joined us at Paradigm Symposium. You know, my prediction, okay, here's a political prediction for you. I think that Jason and Maureen and yours truly, and maybe actually the other Hank's brother, I think the four of us are going to team up and create a new superhero team that's going to go out and hunt UFOs. What do you think about that?
You're going to leave us out?
If you guys want to come along, I could use some tech support.
Oh, okay. I want to kick the political conversation off for a second again. We keep talking about how Florida is kind of the swing state and everything. I'm pretty positive it's going to go to Romney. But that's not what's really important in my mind. For God's sake, I want to know, is Roseanne Barr going to win the political race in Florida?
She actually made it onto the ballot, did she not?
Yeah, she did. She did. And it's just, you know, X amount of years ago, everybody was so blown away that old Schwarzenegger was going to kick it for governor of California.
No!
Well, now we have Roseanne Barr wanting to kick it down in Florida, and then Alec Baldwin saying, hey, I'm going for New York. Like, it is going nuts.
Well, you know, I think what it is that the absurdity of the American political system is urging people now to just get out there and get involved, no matter who they are, where they are, from what walk of life they may be. It's traditional, okay, that you see a lot of actor types heading into the presidency. Of course, you know, everyone knows Ronald Reagan, right?
The actor!
yes, that's right. The actor. You got it. He's a quick one, isn't he?
You know, we've had a bunch of actors go political. What I want to see is a lot of politicians go into acting. Like say Obama gets ousted from the presidency. I want to see him try out for Days of Our Lives next.
Yeah, or maybe become a backup singer with JV. Or JV. Now, okay, apparently I'm Mitt Romney.
He's going to go sing for a band that hasn't been together in Asheville for like the last 10 years.
JV actually is Jay-Z's younger brother that never quite made it onto the hip-hop circuit. What I'd like to see, here's a good one. Okay, we saw Arnold Schwarzenegger enter politics, and now he's left politics, and some say he will return to acting. So, Chris, would that constitute a politician going into acting?
No, he's just going back to his roots. Like, okay. Like I would have loved to see Strom Thurmond get on a television show or in a movie.
Yeah. Life with Rehnquist. Yes, that's right. After the most controversial Supreme Court decision of recent time, Supreme Justice William Rehnquist is the star of his own reality television program. Of course, anyway, that's a little late for that now, but it would have been
fun. I'm Angry All the Time variety hour.
By the way, I just want to backtrack for a second just to clarify. I don't know if anybody out there got it, but when I said Ronald Reagan, the actor, come on, that's like an
I know. Yeah, okay. I know what it is. Marty, you're not thinking fourth dimensionally.
Yeah, come on now.
Right now, I just wanted to say, by the way, with 270 electoral votes needed to win, Romney right now, at present, is leading with 82, and we have Barack Obama. Again, it's a very tight...
So should we just go ahead and call it? Romney wins?
Yeah, let's go ahead and call it. Yeah, I mean, it's
over.
We're plenty far enough into this. We're plenty far enough into this,
Look
yes.
Look at that margin, for God's sake.
In the chat room, by the way, I'm seeing folks talking about an associate of ours who may have fallen asleep.
And then he proved us wrong with a lol.
Lo. Oh, there he is. He's back. Yes, indeed. Oh, goodness. We're always glad to see that our international audience is tuning into the program from all around the world, truly. Here we are covering election 2012, and of course we've got a worldwide listenership tuning into the live program. That's not even including the thousands of people out there who download the program each week. Thank you. Many, many thanks. And all we can ask you, please, to do, maybe you can assist us even further. What we would invite you to do from time to time is try spreading the word and sharing the word about the Graylian Report with your friends and your associates, your fellow researchers, since I know that a lot of the audience out there are researchers like us who are interested in strange phenomena and maybe the alternative news that doesn't make it onto your Fox or your MSNBC or your CNN. We're watching ABC right now, and before that it was Al Jazeera. We've really been kind of going back and forth between. Heck, Chris and I, a few hours ago, had C-SPAN on, and they were actually just, they had a very... We all know that C-SPAN is well known for providing riveting television content. You know, it's very informative, but it is probably some of the most boring television content you'll find on television. And so we thought, well, heck, we'll just check out C-SPAN and see, you know, maybe that'll be a little bit less biased and a little more fair. Well, yeah, it's certainly that, but it really didn't have a whole lot to do with election coverage either. So yes, we've been flipping back and forth between the various news services. We're on ABC News now. And for those of you who want to follow the election at home, in addition to following us here on the Graylian Report, of course, we've got the Twitter feeds that are up and going. I know that Chris is really manning the Twitter. We'll be manning the Graylian Twitter throughout the evening. I'm at Micah Hanks on Twitter. Matt is Graylian Rev?
Graylian Reverend.
Graylian Reverend on Twitter. We'll remember that. He's new to the fold. And then, of course, you know, there are a number of other places that you can find ongoing coverage. YouTube is sponsoring coverage, and they're going to be having a variety of different feeds just as well. And then if you want to be able to watch live streaming online, if you don't have television, but you have access to the internet, well, You can visit a lot of the major news stations' websites, but as I understand this year, what they're doing is that you have to log in with the same credentials of your service provider if you have television at your home. And if you have television at your home, they will provide that to you through the credentials that you use to log in to view the stream. You can't get it for free, which is why we're providing you with election coverage, of course. Many people are going to be watching at home on their televisions. We hope even more will be listening to this broadcast throughout the remainder of the evening. You know, I do want to talk a bit about, during the next hour, ghost lights. This is something that's very, very, very interesting to me. I've always been interested in ghost lights, natural phenomena that often seems to mimic the behavior of a number of different kinds of UFO phenomena out there. And we will get to that in the next hour, but we're almost out of time this hour. I do want to just bring up a couple more brief updates, since we've focused a lot on election 2012 this first hour. There'll be a good bit of it next hour, but we're also going to, in the following hour, we're going to be talking about why some UFO enthusiasts say that the truth may not be out there after all. And get this, and this is surely going to stir up a lot of debate out there in our listenership, why many say that, well, ufology won't even be anything of interest to us in another 10 years or so. I don't know if that's really going to be the case, but I do argue that by the time we reach a point of, well, what we might call technological singularity in the coming decades, well, ufology might not be as important to us, or some of us at least, as it is now. Especially as humankind continues to go through perceptual awakenings that bring us closer and closer to other varieties of sentient intelligence that may exist elsewhere out there in the universe. And then something else to take into consideration also is the potentials for how existing technology today might be utilized in more innovative ways. And literally, maybe not the next 10 years, but maybe the next 2 years. You know, people are already claiming that they're able to capture photographs of UFOs more readily now because of iPhones and things like that can snap decent photographs, and people can carry these little devices with them everywhere that they go. So the game is changing quite a bit, so to speak. Things are looking a lot different from how they were 50 years ago. And yet, for the most part, we really don't seem to know that much more about the phenomenon underlying these reports of these spinning discs or these silent triangles, these things known as UFOs. So what is going on out there? Very interesting report that we'll be coming to you live with during the next hour, in addition to an analysis of some of the better-known ghost light situations going on. You know, I hear that there was what was referred to as a quote-unquote very large symposium held recently here, near Asheville. Yeah, really.
Really?
Yeah, a symposium. Imagine. It's so funny. Where have I heard that word before? Anyway, it was called the Brown Mountain Light Symposium. Very, very interesting. I know. I know that there used to be a Brown Mountain Lights Festival. And all of a sudden, this year, they decided to call it the Brown Mountain Lights Symposium. You know, I used to... Actually, I spoke once at the Brown Mountain Lights Festival. I don't think this is the same event. And clearly, it's not, because this was a Brown Mountain Lights Symposium. But that name just rings...
Yeah.
Is it just me? Maybe I'm just... Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah.
No.
Like how did they spell symposium?
Let me see. They could have... Hold on. Let me get my cue card here. They may have spelled it differently. Hang on. I got to raffle through the trash can and find my... Oh, here we are. Okay. I'm going to... Actually, funny, because I... Oh, you know, this happens to be one of the... This is one of our little postcards for the Paradigm Symposium, which was our event. We spelled it S-Y-M... You following me?
Okay.
P-O-S-I-U-M. They spelled it the same.
I mean, that's really that is the usual way of spelling the word symposium, isn't
it?
I mean,
it's a pretty...
Is it a copyrighted word? Do we own the copyright to symposium?
It's a pretty big coincidence.
Well, you're listening to the Graylian Report of Strange, so...
This is the Graylian Report Symposium, isn't it? Oh, goodness gracious.
Speaking of the Graylian Report,
you know what? We're almost out of time this hour. When we come back, UFOs, Earthlights, and ongoing election coverage. We're going to see who's going to be leading the free world tomorrow morning. We probably won't see it tonight, but we're going to bring you the best there is, well, in terms of close estimates, while we have you tonight. It is the Graylian Report. I'm Micah Hanks, along with Chris Hayes and Matt Oakley. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this.
Carl Sagan once wrote that the questioning mind needs to be instilled with both skepticism and wonder, for the universe is a pretty big place, filled with undelved mysteries, sciences, and life that we've barely begun to comprehend. Every month, Intrepid Magazine brings you both the wondrous and the skeptical. Intrepid Magazine focuses on science, metaphysics, UFOs, politics, conspiracies, and unexplained phenomena, all offered up by Intrepid's cadre of writers and contributors, comprised of a host of seasoned authors, pundits, and recognized names in their fields. The universe is indeed a big place, and where other magazines leave off, Intrepid Mag is just beginning. Subscribe to Intrepid Magazine today at www.intrepidmag.com. That's www.intrepidmag.com.
From the East Coast. It's going to be a coast-to-coast show tonight, and I'm not talking about another popular late-night radio program. That's right, this is the Graylian Report. I'm Micah Hanks, your host with the most, host with the ghost, perhaps, host with the mo-ho, bringing it to you like a wicked cup of cocoa from the mo-ho tonight. With live election coverage, 2012. Who is it going to be? Is it going to be Barack Obama for 4 more years, or will the challenger, Mitt Romney, former governor of Massachusetts, be taking the stage in the spotlight here in the American political scene? Well, we're going to find out. Maybe not tonight. Probably sometime early tomorrow, unless, of course, there's a tie. And some of them are saying that could very likely happen just as well.
And I want to point out, too, that if Romney does take the lead and does win the actual vote, which I'm seeing he is projected to be ahead by almost 30 points here.
Now it's still early.
It's exactly 30 points.
It is still early. However, I do want to point out that this is the first time that we've seen a one-term president since the late 80s, early 90s. And I think that would speak a lot about where this nation has gone over the past, 20-something years.
It would say something at very least. Yes, of course, George Herbert Walker Bush, failed to be reelected. And again, we were talking about this earlier. I would argue that, yes, there was a pretty prominent third-party candidate in that election. Many would argue that Mr. Ross Perot, the wealthy tycoon from Texas, may have actually effectively worked to draw votes away from Mr. Bush. Either way, Mr. Clinton took that election and, of course, served two terms before, his image became tarnished in the White House. I'm going to say this once. I'm going to say it one time only. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, but of course he did.
Man, we've had Barack Obama and Bill Clinton in the studio tonight.
I talked with Michelle last night when we were in Iowa, campaigning in front of the American people. My Obama's not as good.
And see, I just want to get out there. I want to speechify and wordomize and talkify to people.
I admit, Romney, and I believe in this country, the principles this country was founded on. The marriage should be between one man and one woman, even though my ancestors were one man and several women.
Wait, hang on, Matt. You just said wordomize. Wasn't wordom destroyed in the Bible by sulfur and hellfire?
Probably.
Wordom and Gomorrah?
And Saddam Hussein probably killed it.
I'm sorry, I have to say, that was one of the funniest things that George Norrie, at Paradigm Symposium, George Norrie during his presentation said something during his speech about, this poor woman looks at me and she sees a guy that looks like Saddam Hussein sitting there talking about himself, of course. That was probably, I'll tell you, that was such a stressful time, and George didn't tell us anything about what he was going to talk about at Paradigm. All he said was, as I went to meet him in the hotel lobby, Scotty Roberts and I went to greet George personally, and we were bringing him back and everything, and George says, and of course, we'd had Ian Punnett, who's the weekend host occasionally on Coast to Coast. Ian had actually provided transportation for George because Ian lives right there in Minneapolis. And so we knew that George had made it to the hotel safely, and that furthermore, his transportation had been provided by a close trusted associate of his and a friend of ours. And as we're walking up there into the main ballroom, George looks at me and he kind of says, by the way, Micah, I'm going to tell folks that I had a little trouble getting to the hotel today. Don't worry. Ian got me here just fine. We're just going to have a little fun with it. And I said, okay, sure, George, whatever, And he gets up there and he starts talking and he tells his story about how I get to the hotel and I'm waiting outside and there's nobody there to pick me up. And I'm thinking, what am I supposed to do? And so finally I wait and I wait and I wait and I eventually just take a city bus. He was hilarious, and it ended up being a joke is what it was. But George, was brilliant about interspersing comedy into his entire, lecture. Okay, it was really more of a routine than a lecture. It was so funny. And, of course, I was running around because he did take serious questions from the audience. And, of course, while, our buddy Tom Danhauser didn't get to make it out, I was very disappointed because I'd really been looking forward to meeting. I've never met Tom in person. Yet, I haven't, And he called me and said, Micah, as a friend, I'm really sorry. I'm not going to be able to make it. We had a last-minute thing happen. I can't leave the City of Angels. I've got to stay out here. So he says, when George gives his presentation tomorrow, you're going to have to help him out. Because normally I would run out into the audience and carry the microphone around. So I'm doing that for George. It was so funny being able to be up there on stage with George and everything. And every few minutes he's, Micah, how are we doing on time? And after we finished, after he left the stage, we were walking out together, and I said, George, it's been such a... That was the big Saturday of Paradigm Symposium. And I said to George, that was so needed right now. It has been such a catastrophic day, planning everything and getting everything together. George made me laugh, and I thanked him personally. I said, George, we all needed that right now. That was hilarious, though, him talking about a woman seeing him and saying this guy looks like Saddam Hussein. George Norrie is really funny. That's what I'm saying. So anyway, and I'm so...
That was really roundabout.
Well, but the other thing I wanted to bring up about George is that, George, he came on the program several months ago, And something that he had said then was that, you know, there'd been some talk of a presidential bid, and I don't know that he's necessarily ruled that out, but George Norrie has talked about, seriously, talked about a bid for the presidency. You know, Chris, you don't think he'd ever do it?
I have been...
Chris is over here speaking Swahili.
I've been actually rendered speechless. I don't know what would happen if George Norrie would... Who would be his running mate? Art Bell?
That would be a ticket I could. That would be change I could believe in. Yeah. Pocket change, no, I'm kidding.
And then Ian Punnett can re-ask the first question he asked to the panel. Of the candidates running for president, who do you think will be more helpful and friendly towards releasing information, positively or negatively, about the existence and contact of extraterrestrials?
Well, I thought you were going to say the driving thing.
Yeah. No, because George Norrie doesn't drive.
Do you believe in UFOs, and how fast do you drive when you drive?
Ian Punnett is a real comedian, yeah. But anyway, so that said, what's the latest, guys? We're looking at right now the projected electoral votes coming in. It's still, according to ABC News, 123 to 153 favoring Romney. Now, another news source had said 154. That could just be a number error.
Yeah. Like, ABC News says 123 to 153. Obama with 123, Romney with 153. And Fox News said, you know, just to be on the complete opposite end of the spectrum, Obama had the 123, but Romney had 154 electoral votes. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think, is there a state with only one electoral vote? Matt is shaking his head no. I'm thinking the T90th state in the union would be Rhode Island, and that
no,
one has
it
three.
Still has three. Yeah, yeah, three is the least amount of electoral votes a state has.
All right. Exactly. So that looks like it's probably a number error. Of course,
which
we'll,
is something you got to watch for on any station or any radio show or anything you're looking at.
It
right
does
now.
Happen. You'll see those little discrepancies. Now, turning to the Twitter right now, you know, it's always interesting in terms of kind of crowdsourcing opinions, often of the snarky variety, as to what may be going on out there. I'm looking at some of these Twitters. I'm not going to name the names. I'm just going to read some of the things that people are putting up on Twitter. This election decidedly does not have enough sharks. The New York Times, I will name this one because it's a news service. They have announced that there's breaking news out of the state of New York. You know, I'd mentioned New York just a few moments ago, and of course, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand is reelected, according to projections by the New York Times. Another one we've seen is, yeah, we've talked about the black and the woman vote, but can we just talk about the Lynyrd Skynyrd fan vote? Let's see here.
That's where the Alabama projections are coming from there, Chris.
We've got this one right here. Sweet symposiums. This election's going to be... Oh, that's me.
Oh!
Yeah. Michelle Malkin just tweeted that Fox has called Michigan for Obama. Again, I said I wouldn't name a name, but then again, she's a personality. My dad used to tell me, don't be stupid. I ask America to do the same, is another tweeter. We have, you know, again, the feelings are mostly mixed, largely snarky out there on the Twitter. But then again, I think that's what makes for a entertaining Twitter feed. Matt, since you're a newbie, the neophyte among us here, take notes. I think he's done a fine job being snarky on Twitter thus far.
I will say that some of this language out there is Latin to me. I cannot understand some of these, like, #.gd
No,
whatever.
Matt, all you need to know, there are two things you need to know. If you put the @ symbol before someone who is your friend, that represents them as a little link. And the #, is just something you just like to talk about.
Can I speak?
No, you know what? I'm tired of your...
I was talking with my wife, Michelle, and our two daughters earlier.
As the mating ritual continues, we move to the Twitter.
So I understand that portion.
To see what the actual Americans out there are thinking, not the roboids that contain themselves and control the mainstream media. It's terrifying. Oh, wait, we're seeing activity in the field.
I don't think anybody can understand. And I will tell you.
You know, guys, I hate to interrupt.
I respect you, and I think you have a wonderful character as a human being.
Fellas.
What you're not understanding is those are shortened links.
This is getting hopeless. There's absolutely no hope for us. The future of America, you would think, rested in the subtle balance of an argument taking place in the Mohorovi. Oh, crap. Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, what's going on?
Listen, you know, Susan Burke, whose Twitter feed I follow, also mentioned that looking at the election map, she realizes that the best barbecue comes from states with the worst politics. So sad. You know, it's funny because as a bluegrass musician in the Southeast, I could probably qualify as being a professional barbecue taste tester. Very true. We'll continue with our updates throughout the evening. Before we go to this break, though, I want to bring something up real quick, and then we'll chat about it here on the... you know what? Actually, no. I don't like to do that. If it's worth talking about, right, Matt Oakley? We might as well afford it a fair chance at discussion, and a good one, too. So we're going to go ahead and go out to this floating network break a little bit early. And then when we come back, we're going to be talking a bit of UFOs as we continue to bring you live election coverage here from the 2012 election headquarters in the Moho. As far as I know, hundreds of miles beneath the Earth's surface, there is only one 2012 election news headquarters, and this is it, man. Are you receiving me? You know, anyway. Yes, we are hundreds of miles beneath the Earth's surface. I'm Micah Hanks, joined in studio with Chris Hayes and Matthew Oakley. It is the Graylian Report. Of course, taking your calls if you want to join us on the program, 828-398-4886, and Graylian Report on Skype to call into the program. Be eager to hear from you. I'm Micah Hanks, and we'll be right back.
The Graylian Report with Micah Hanks. To join the program by phone, call 828-398-4886. Skype users can reach the program by calling Skype ID Graylian Report. And now, from hundreds of miles beneath terra firma, in the depths of the hollow earth, live from the Graylian Bunker, it's Micah Hanks.
Yeah, doing our brief departure from the election coverage tonight, because I'm going to tell you, it's a long way to go. We're looking at 153 to 123 still favoring Romney, but a lot of the states are still reporting. And, of course, until 10 p.m. Eastern time, that's just a little less than 45 minutes from now. Wait a minute. Is that a little more? Yeah, a little less than 45 minutes from now. Well, a good bit less. Anyway, all numbers aside, it's less than an hour before the polls close on the West Coast, and so we have a little ways to go. And so we're going to take you in the direction of the ufological. The headline reading, UFO enthusiasts admit that the truth may not be out there after all. Have we got the X-Files music? Can we cue that? No, don't do it. It's cliche anyway. But you know, many are saying that there are declining numbers of what are called quote-unquote flying saucer sightings, and an altogether failure to establish proof of alien existence, which has led many UFO enthusiasts to admit that they might not exist after all. This is a dumbass argument, first of all, but I'm going to get into that here in a minute. Chris is shaking his head. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We love to just go after him on this program.
Can I say it?
It's like we love to just look at Chris and let him say awkward things from time to time. Don't say it.
I like turtles.
Don't speak. I know just what you say. I'm just going to stop right there. For decades, they've been scanning the skies for signs of alien activity, but having failed to establish any evidence for the existence of extraterrestrial life or ancient astronauts, Britain's UFO watchers are reaching the conclusion that the truth, well, might not be out there after all. Enthusiasts admit that a continued failure to provide proof and a decline in the number of quote-unquote flying saucer sightings suggests that aliens do not exist after all and could mean the end of ufology, the study of UFOs, within the next decade. Dozens of groups interested in the flying saucers and other unidentified flying objects have already closed because of lack of interest, and next week one of the country's foremost organizations in the UK involved in UFO research is holding a conference to discuss whether the subject has any future. Dave Wood, a chairman of the Association for the Scientific Study of Anomalous Phenomenon, otherwise known as ASAP, said that the meeting had been called to address the crisis in the subject and see if UFOs were a thing of the past indeed. It is certainly a possibility that in 10 years' time it will be a dead subject, he added. We look at these things on the balance of probabilities, and this area of studies has been ongoing for many decades. The lack of compelling evidence beyond the pure anecdotal suggests that on the balance of probabilities, there's simply nothing out there. I think that any UFO researcher would tell you that 98% of sightings that happen are very easily explainable. One of the conclusions to draw from that is that perhaps there isn't anything there. The days of compelling eyewitness sightings seem to be over. I'm going to put this report down for just a moment and get very serious, okay? Now, here's something that I love. In this modern culture in which we live, people are so, you know, used to the instant gratification that's brought to us by the media. And not just by the media, but social networking. You know, if you have 5 minutes alone, what are you doing? You're standing in line at the grocery store. What are you doing? You're texting somebody, like Chris is right now. Or you're Twittering somebody, like, yeah, I know, you're new to Twitter, Matt. It's okay. Yeah. Red Pill Junkie is new to Twitter just as well, by the way. Okay, speaking of the Graylians, you know. If we're going to shout out to our Graylians, might as well call Caleb Hanks just as well. You know, there are a lot of people behind the scenes. Somebody's going to grill me here in a minute for digressing again, but in addition to the three gentlemen here in the studio, yes, Red Pill Junkie, Caleb Hanks, and there are a few others out there that help keep us doing what we do and doing it well. And what we hope to be able to do the very best is to draw attention to the idiocy that our society imposes on the serious study of very subtle phenomena, okay? I love seeing that an organization that calls themselves the Association for the Scientific Study of Anomalous Phenomena, saying that, well, there very well may not be anything worth studying here. There's no conclusive proof that there are extraterrestrials out there. Okay, the first problem here is that, again, people have this cultural stereotype that they all adhere to. UFOs must equal extraterrestrials. Okay? In other words, if UFOs don't equal quote-unquote aliens, then they're not worth studying at all. Because if they aren't aliens, then there is some sort of a prosaic explanation underlying the phenomena otherwise. In other words, these are unidentified terrestrial aircraft, or these are known aircraft that are misidentified by an untrained observer. UFOs are all of these things, but they may very well be none of these things just as well. I love it when these arrogant science types go out there and claim that they have all the answers based on what they perceive as being a lack of evidence. A good friend and correspondent here on the program, Mike Reese, he wouldn't mind me using his name in conjunction with his story. We've reviewed the story many times on this program, in fact. Mike Reese is a contractor with both military experience as well as professional experience, the private sector and government. He is someone who has a wealth of background and knowledge, technical skills, and ability to determine and recognize, I think, a variety of things ranging from military craft to different kinds of, you know, technical observations made of various different kinds of physical objects by virtue of his trade and his training, both in the civilian and private sectors, or private civilian sectors, and also the specialized government sectors. Someone like Mike Reese is unique because he's not a backwoods, you know, podunk hillbilly farmer who says that he saw a light in the sky that beamed a couple of his cattle up. He's not some poor, crazy person who lives in the inner city who claims that he's been abducted by reptoids for 40 years and counting. Now, Mike is a good, common, decent person who might be a little, you know, by virtue of just, you know, where his life has taken him, professionally and otherwise, he may be a little better qualified than the average UFO witness. It was 1973, and he, his wife at the time, his sister's two children, and his infant child were traveling along on their way back late at night from Marietta, Georgia, onto a suburb located south of Atlanta called Locust Grove. It was approximately 1 o'clock in the morning. It was the month of November, a night just like tonight. In fact, it had been raining like it had been throughout most of the United States today. And there was a fog that was rising over the highway. And as Mike and his family traveled along, he noticed a bright white light in the distance that was coming along. It was passing over the treetops, moving very steadily. Not slowly, but just, it was very peculiar, the fashion in which this light was moving. Mike, you know, otherwise might have thought this was some sort of a helicopter or something like that. And as he's looking at this thing, something about the behavior, the way it moved, something told him it wasn't a helicopter. Now, Mike was about to reach a location of the highway where it split off on what was called the Bill Gardner Highway, and then it was the interstate that took him north the rest of the way to Atlanta, but he missed the highway intentionally so that he could move along further down this little stretch of country road and get closer to this light. He wanted to get a better look at this thing, whatever it was. He's traveling down the road. Again, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, a little south of Atlanta, Georgia. The year is 1973. There's a line of trees on the left, and he can see the light emanating through the trees from whatever this thing is. And as he comes up to the end of the tree line, where there's a large power substation up on the left, it's obviously, very clearly, a huge disc-shaped craft, a saucer, hovering above this power substation. Their colored lights rotating around the periphery of the craft in sequence, red, green, blue, all the way around the craft. And Mike did what any God-fearing, sane individual would do. He spun off onto the side of the road, leapt out of the vehicle, and began waving his arms at this thing. No, in truth, most of us probably wouldn't do that. But, you know, Mike looked at this thing and his immediate thought wasn't, hey, these are aliens from outer space, but he was certainly thinking, what is that? And he wanted to know who was on board that thing. I've spoken many times with Mike Reese about that experience, that encounter. He took me. We drove several hours together, returned to the site of the 1973 Locust Grove encounter. Standing there at the power substation, we laughed together as a black helicopter flew overhead. As a matter of fact, my field correspondent, Jessica Backham, told me that there were black helicopters seen buzzing the skies over the Obama rally in Des Moines, Iowa, last night. But that said, I take Mike to be a pretty credible witness, a very down-to-earth guy. We went to the Cracker Barrel after he took me to the site of his 1973 UFO encounter and just laughed and talked and cut up, you know. I don't think, like Stephen Hawking has said, that all the people who claim to have seen a UFO are quote-unquote cranks and weirdos. Granted, that was several decades ago, but a similar sighting, almost identical to what Mike Reese described seeing, occurred just last year. And it wasn't a crank or a weirdo, a crazy backwoods farmer, a hippie off in the hills someplace that saw it. No. No, the witness was actually a popular morning sportscaster on the BBC News Network in the UK. And he called into a well-known morning program and tried to describe what he had seen and said, I almost dread to say it, but it was a saucer. I don't see these things anymore. How stupid. Come on. I mean, really? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm off my soapbox.
Are you casting stones?
I will never cast stones at an open-minded individual who is willing to accept different potentialities beyond even those that they themselves can see. But I'll tell you this, no matter what, if a person wants to make blatant, bold presuppositions like these people, I'll be happy to rake them over the coals 7 days a week and twice on Sundays.
Well, in regards to the sighting in 1973, according to one of our field correspondents, that person is probably going to be interviewed by Mysterious Universe in the next little while.
Really?
Yes.
Well, all the better, because you know what? Those, yeah. These stories need... I'm sorry, you were talking about the UFO witness is going to be interviewed.
Yes, yes, the UFO witness.
Well, you know what? These stories need as much attention as they can get. And I'll tell you what, also, you can expect to see the story of Mike Reese in none other than the UFO Singularity, which will be coming out the day after the end of the Mayan calendar for all of those who wished that you could get it before the world ended. You know, again, I'll do everything I can to put these stories out there and to help promote people's stories of their, you know, otherworldly encounters. But let's look at this for what it is. Can we look at a story like that and say, oh, clearly, these are aliens. These are beings from other worlds that are visiting us in advanced aircraft. Look, I would argue that a craft like that is maybe only a few decades more advanced than what we already see. Which is why my brother Caleb and I are so interested in things like technological singularity. Technological singularity, of course, is the notion that future technologies are going to take us to a singular point beyond which greater than human intelligence will begin to emerge in our midst. And if indeed this potentiality comes to exist in, you know, sooner rather than later times, you know, several hundred years from now, being later, I mean, if we're talking about a mere span of a few decades that we begin to see the emergence of artificial intelligence and thereby potentially greater than human intelligence here on Earth, whether created by us or maybe perhaps as a result of biological implementations paired with cyborg technologies and things that supplement and change. Matt's shaking his head, but you know, if you read a little bit more, Matt, you'd probably see that at least what I'm putting forth is not that it has to happen or that it will happen, but that there's a strong likelihood that at some point on down the road, these sorts of things should be taken into consideration, and that the hyperbolic, greater than exponential growth of technology that we're already witnessing today is showing that the trend is that there are going to be incredibly advanced technologies in our midst in just a few short years. So great that we couldn't even begin to speculate as to what we might be looking at, you know, as soon as 5 or 10 years from now. What we see today, we think is advanced. What we will see tomorrow will appear to be quite advanced as well. And as we continue to compound upon utilizing existent technology that we continue to innovate in the coming years, the existent technologies that we innovate will only cause us to grow and expand even more rapidly. What many expect 100 years from now will more likely probably arrive within a couple of decades. And in truth, yes, we will probably be looking at the advent of the creation of some variety of artificial intelligence. Some kind of, you know, some sort of a synthetic intelligence that will far be able to exceed the capabilities of natural human intelligence. What will we view UFOs as being at that point? Will UFOs even be a consideration at that point? So in a sense, what these folks in the UK are talking about is of interest and is of certain importance, I would say, in the sense that, yes, UFOs may not be of great importance to us in the future, but not for the reasons that they're saying. It's not because of a lack of any kind of evidence or a phenomenon altogether. I think it has far more to do with the fact that the way that humans will perceive that phenomena in the coming years will greatly change. And as it continues to change, well, so shall our perspective of who we are and precisely what our role in this great cosmic chess game will continue to be. I'm Micah Hanks. When we come back, I think we'll get a few final updates for this edition of the Grayling Report, and then we're going to take it off of the air, at least for the podcasters who download and listen. But immediately following this broadcast, we will be continuing live election coverage for the 2012 election between Barack Obama and challenger Mitt Romney right here on the Grayling Report. I'm Micah Hanks. Stay tuned.
Georgia. It's the Graylian Report with Micah Hanks. To join the program by phone, call 828-398-4886. Skype users can reach the program by calling Skype ID Graylian Report. And now, from hundreds of miles beneath terra firma, in the depths of the hollow earth, live from the Graylian Bunker, it's Micah Hanks.
Coming to you live from that little disquiet out here in the Moho discontinuity, that dark corner of the web known as the Graylian Report. Now, Chris Hayes brought to my attention during the break there that Red Pill Junkie says he is going back and forth arguing with a skeptic over at the website popularly known as MysteriousUniverse.com, our sister podcast here. And they are saying, they're arguing about what is it again? Is skeptic arguing about an article I wrote about skepticism? I'll just have to go over there and take a look at it and see what... You know, something else I blogged about recently for MysteriousUniverse.com. This is what I love. Again, this is what I say. The people on the left say this guy's a righty. The people on the right say this guy's a lefty. The skeptics say I'm a believer. The believers say I'm a skeptic. Actually, more of the believers think that I, too, am a believer. But the truth of the matter is I'm going to say for once and for all, I am a skeptic. I am not a debunker. I'm a person who withholds judgment until you hand me evidence.
No, that just means you're a skeptic. You're a dirty, dirty non-believer, and you know what? That's okay.
I'm a nasty. I'm a mean. Yeah. I'm a bad. Yeah. I'm so damn mean.
I mean, I was actually reading a skeptic forum, and the so-called air quotation skeptics on this forum were out and out straight debunkers, and you know. I used to be that way. You can come back from it. You can come back from being as close-minded on one side as you are on the other side. Just look for the fact and not the truth. That's all you're looking for.
Well, you know, yeah, I think that... it's funny because I think that there is a typical... how do I want to word this? There is like a tactic that both sides tend to use, okay? The believers say, well, why do I need evidence I have experienced or I feel? And I'm saying, like, let's for purposes of this conversation, let's put the real big-time crazy believers over on the far left, okay? And then let's put the real badass, it ain't happening skeptics over on the far right, okay? Okay, just for the purposes of this discussion. The far-left believers, okay, I'm not talking about politics. I'm saying the far-left people who are going to say that, you know, I've been abducted, there are aliens that are waging war in our skies, and that they've abducted Ed Grimsley, and he's going to become king of the universe in, like, the year 2014. God help us. Ed Grimsley. The man himself. You know, there are those types, okay? And then there is what we might call, this faction of people who say that, as I've elucidated many times on this program, ad nauseum in the past, you know, no matter what you say, if it is perceived as being something that they don't consider a part of what constitutes their perception of reality, you're wrong, okay? The tactic that the people on this believers left might employ would be something along the lines of, I don't need evidence because I know. Okay? The people on the far right end of the spectrum, on the other hand, might utilize an argument along the lines of, no, it doesn't. Which is something that Scotty Roberts always brings to attention. No, it doesn't. But I really think, yeah, this is an observable phenomenon. No, it isn't. Well, how do you know? Well, how do you know?
Well, how don't you know?
Tell me how you know first. You know, you can, these are what I call master debaters, okay? Say that three times fast. The point is, you know, actually, no. Here's what I would argue. Let's dedicate a song to all of them, okay? I think that these guys all need to let love's wings, the wings of light and cosmic love, carry them to a new vision of reality. It's true. This is what needs to happen. Okay? I wanted to be able to get Jimmy Page and Robert Plant to to contribute to this special edition, this electoral edition of the Grailian Report, but they were unavailable, and so I got the next best cat. Not Phil Thomas cat, by the way.
The flamboyant Phil Thomas cat?
Yes. No, this is Mark Gormley with his hit, Little Wing.
Little wings, can you make a fight? The rain is getting heavy, there's a storm tonight. So far from home, the ocean goes below. Will you make the morning light? Oh, little wings in flight.
You know, when I run for president, Chris, this is going to be my campaign theme song.
Can I be your spiritual advisor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Totally.
Oh, the path you weave is most certain to achieve the everlasting will.
Are you guys ready for the power stance? Here it comes.
Mark Gormley power stance.
Time is marching slowly. Nothing matters more than little wings in fight.
You know,
he's a visionary.
He is. If that doesn't sum up cosmic love better than anything I've ever heard. Anyway. I'm seeing right now Obama 143, Romney 153. I hear they're also calling... They haven't conclusively called Ohio, but again, it's looking pretty close. The latest on that one, again, it's going to be close for quite some time right now. It's a very, very, very close race at present. We'll hope to have a few more updates here in just a few minutes. You know, I tell you, with so many people logging into these popular news sites and stations, we've got our streaming audio. And of course, the news, the pages from the different various news sources and things loading so quickly, even though we pay for high-speed internet this far down in the bunker, sometimes it's hard to get the pages to load as quickly as you would like. But I did have something else I wanted to get to before we talk politics again. And since we are going to wrap up this edition of the program here soon, and then, of course, follow up with election coverage that continues on for at least a while into the night. We're not going to do the five-hour broadcast that George Norrie and the folks are going to be doing, but I will tell you that we will continue at least until probably Chris and I, at very least, until about 11 or 12, perhaps. We'll see if Matt can hang with us a little bit. Matt
well,
has...
Well, if you say 11 or 12, then that means eventually it's just going to be me. By myself, broadcasting until 3 to 4 o'clock in the morning, possibly all the way until 9 p.m. the next day.
It's like I said earlier, like I can just picture Chris sitting up like, all right, I'm in the 72nd hour of election coverage. We're 23 pots of coffee down. They still haven't called Ohio.
It's okay. I mean, I think Ohio's getting payback on you and me, Matt, because we so tactfully avoided it all the way up and back from to and from Paradigm Symposium.
Well, here's Chris. He's sitting there the third day. No food. I'm naked.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's just going to happen at about 11 o'clock tonight. I mean,
oh, yes. I mean,
nudity happens. It's not like a special occasion here. Just nudity happens.
When the clock strikes 12, Chris Hayes will be nude.
Well, I mean, I'm already halfway nude now. Come on.
Oh, God. Yes, well, it's quite dangerous. Well, before we run out of time, I've got very little amount of time here. I wanted to mention something. There was a story that I'd seen, a couple of stories that had to do with... Because, you know, when RPJ was talking about this story at Mysterious Universe, I probably had written one that was dealing... Boy, I write a lot for them, so I have a hard time keeping up with all of them. I thought he was actually talking about an article that had to do with the Brown Mountain Lights, okay? There was another story... Okay, that made the news earlier this week, dealing with what's called the Paulding Light, okay, a mysterious light manifestation that occurs in Michigan, okay? And by the way, hold on, I was told that there was going to be a surprise at some point tonight. There are 6 minutes to go in this broadcast. Did the surprise guy fall asleep?
I was informed there was going to be a surprise as well. I'm pretty sure he did, in fact, fall asleep.
I think Dr. John Ward... Oops.
Whoops. Cassidy, whoops.
I think he chickened out. Obviously, which is why I'm moving on to the next news story. Just across the border from Vilas County, a mystery that haunts Michigan's Upper Peninsula, the Paulding Light. It's a strange light that scientists have been unable to explain for decades. But what causes this phenomenon? Well, a local historian, Don Williams, says that the legend of the light dates back to a train crash in the late 1800s. You see, the light you see is from the light of the conductor who is watching over the scene where there was a fatality. It's a ghost train, according to Janet Zerkowski. Yes, it is. The lights appear to get brighter as you're watching them as though a train were coming. You know, a lot of these ghost light stories associate these things with trains oncoming and conductors and people who died in train accidents and the like. Another good example would be the ghost lights at Mako Station here in North Carolina. But, you know, the most famous of all, perhaps, of the ghost lights here in the United States were touched on by Philip J. Klass, the famous UFO debunker, in his book UFOs Explained back in 1974. They were known as the Brown Mountain Lights, and yes, indeed, there was a bit of a symposium that occurred down in Morganton, North Carolina, just this past weekend. I was unfortunately unable to, attend this symposium because of various things I had going on. But I nonetheless came across, actually I didn't, Chris came across this news story right here. No one knows the answer to the mountain's mystery, including C.W. Smith, who has probably spent as much time around fabled Brown Mountain as anyone alive. Smith, 67, spent 33 years with the U.S. Forest Service patrolling the Pisgah National Forest as a federal law enforcement agent beginning in the 1960s. He knows every fold of every ridge and is familiar with its marquee mystery, the so-called, what they call, yes, Brown Mountain Lights. He grew up in nearby McDowell County in western North Carolina and never much believed the stories about nocturnal flickerings. And then while working one night, he caught sight of what looked like a bonfire on the mountain, but in a place where, well, there were no trails. So I started going up the mountain. And this thing did too. It was moving too fast for someone to be using a mountain climbing apparatus or equipment, you know, even an ATV. Of course, this was several years ago. Whatever this thing was, it went up the ridgeline and then just disappeared. And with that, Smith became a believer. He told at a symposium on the phenomenon held Saturday in Morganton at the Municipal Auditorium. Well, let's fast forward ahead, because something I always love about these reports from this area. Dan Caton, a physics and astronomy professor at Appalachian State University in Boone.
You're from here, Micah.
I said Appalachian.
You said Appalachian.
I'm having a look, okay? I've got a little bit of a post. I'm going to continue reading. I'm going to ask you very kindly.
You're messing with my alma mater here.
Anyway, Dan Caton, a physics and astronomy professor at Appalachian State University in Boone, is one of the foremost academic researchers on the lights. He believes most sightings are bogus. People are seeing campfires, headlights, aircraft, even the lights of distant Lenore in the distance. But Caton, who spoke at another symposium on the lights in February. Wait, there was another symposium back in February? So now everybody's having symposiums.
It's catching on.
Yes, apparently. Well, he estimates that maybe 5% of the reports are legitimate. He favors a theory that the lights are ball lightning, a little understood but long observed phenomenon. Okay, let me stop right there. Dan Caton has called himself for years a cynic. Okay? And the other thing about Dan Caton is that this guy, no matter what, he didn't come back out and start saying that he thought that this phenomenon, whatever it is, had anything to do with ball lightning until researchers like Joshua P. Warren and myself and several others began to put forth that idea. Okay, there was also a research team back in the 1970s who said this many, many, many moons ago. Okay, the Orion research team was comprised of a bunch of researchers who were based around Oak Ridge, Tennessee. And they, too, believe that there was something going on, something a little strange. You know, as a matter of fact, speaking of things that are strange and odd, things that are bizarre, I think that there's an anomaly that has presented itself on the program this evening. Who be here with us this evening? I know he can hear us.
Turn down your radio.
Or whatever time it is over there and whatever time it is here. I've got my setup here is kind of freaking me out here now because I have computers all over the place. So I've got the grading report on one screen. I got Skype on another screen. I got microphone over there, and my coffee's in the middle. And I'm going to have to turn down the volume on that one because that's just freaking confusing me.
You know, it's a good thing we're running late with election coverage tonight because you know what, ladies and gentlemen, we are now joined live via Luxor, Egypt, by none other than Dr. John Ward, who is called into the program from halfway across the world. It's always so good to hear from you, my friend. How are you doing over there?
I'm doing fine, brother. I'm doing fine. It's now 5 minutes. So I'm only half an hour earlier than I usually get up. The intrepid mug, which carries a vat of coffee, that's been to and fro from the kitchen while I've been listening to your undertones. And I've already smoked one pack of the cigarettes, so I've just opened my second pack. And my ashtray is overfloweth. But other than that, yeah, I'm fine.
Are you sure you weren't born to be a journalist, John?
Sorry, sir?
Are you sure you weren't born to be a journalist with all the cigarettes you smoke and coffee you drink?
No, sir. No. I'm more interested in what you guys think is going to happen tomorrow morning when Romney takes over the planet.
We're going to rejoice in the streets.
Do you think we'll be allowed to marry six wives and, you know, and have golden plates to eat our salad upon?
Well, it's going to be a game changer for us, and I'll tell you this right now. Romney is being heralded as the leader in the election with 162 electoral votes projected, whereas Mr. Obama only has 157. They need 270 to win. We'll see how things go. Utah, I think, is the most recent state that has been called for Mr. Obama. If he takes over the free world tomorrow, it's going to be a very different kind of world that we'll wake up to, won't it be? John... How will this affect people in a locality like yours? You're in Egypt right now. You're an archaeologist. If anything, you are the closest thing to a real life Indiana Jones most people will ever meet. What are things going to be like tomorrow if we have a Mitt Romney win in Egypt? What's it going to be like for folks?
I don't think it's going to change dramatically overnight. Politically, I don't think it's going to change. There is an undertone at the moment that's being talked about amongst our circle that we frequent here, that they are a little bit worried of Romney's, and that may have an impact upon the political stability between America and Egypt. But I don't think it's going to have any dramatic effect. I think things will just continue the way they are. America will continue to pay Egypt its vast amounts of money, which it does. And things will continue. I don't think it's going to have a dramatic effect in the next foreseeable future, unless something happens, of course, across the Sinai Peninsula in that direction. And if something happens over there with our other friends, then I think, yes, it could get a bit nasty. But I don't think anything's going to happen, not yet.
Right. And I share that sentiment. And as interesting as this election has been here in the States, you know, I'm far more interested in the kinds of things that are going on in your part of the world. You know, what kinds of changes are we going to continue to see in the Middle East and in other parts of the world abroad that could really affect the geopolitical and even the geoeconomic circumstances that are underlying all of this? You know, people complain about the joblessness in the United States and things like that. You were over here visiting us just a few weeks ago. Things aren't that terrible in the United States. It's been far worse elsewhere. Look at Greece, for instance, and of course there's been this revolution that they've called it in Egypt. I'm far more interested in what's been going on overseas, and you know, I continue to hope to, you know, see stability in that region, but it doesn't really look like that's going to be anything that will occur overnight, will it?
Well, I mean, we haven't had stability over here since the Crusades. it's evolving. It will continue to evolve. I mean, historically wise, if we want to look back at it, both England and Europe as a whole have kept certain countries within Africa in a status quo. Let us be polite about that. And ever since that time period, say the late 1800s, going into the 19th century and so forth, beneath its little thumb. The use of the black gold is the only thing that's really kept them on a par with the States and England. But that's only a very few countries that have actually benefited from that, while the others haven't. And they've had to go cap in hand to their other countries and within their locality. I don't think you're going to see any dramatic change, again, between the political relationships between America and what's going over here. But I do believe you will continue to see the dramatic changes that are unfolding here in the Middle East. The change that's going on at the moment is quite dramatic. You know, people are starting to find their voices. They're starting to participate, not just in a community, but also on a global scale. You were just talking about it earlier. I mean, you know, telecommunications has completely changed the game here. And they realize that through such social platforms such as Twitter and Facebook and such like, they do actually have a voice and people are listening. And when one person listens, they start to become motivated and they continue with their speech. And they build an audience, and that audience grows, and from that audience then some kind of development takes place, and you've got a political stance, and it goes on from there, and then you know the story.
Oh yes, I do. And speaking of, as heavy as this conversation ongoing throughout the evening has been with regard to elections and political unrest elsewhere around the world, John, I have to say that, you know, you talk about, you know, building, you know, it's something of a populace, people who, you know, who follow something. You're one of these individuals who has done that just as well. I have to note that there are people in the chat room right now who are screaming like little teenage girls, maybe because they are teenage girls. I'm not sure.
I'm one of them.
Oh, Chris is one of them, so you're okay. But John, they're your fan club. You know, after Paradigm Symposium, you really have quite a contingent here in the United States of people who are just dying to get you back over here. You know, we may have to have you back sooner than Paradigm Symposium 2013.
I don't know what's happened, but my social stream on the other screen has completely crashed. I haven't seen anything going on there, but I that keeps on crashing for some reason.
It's all the people following you.
This PC is going okay, thankfully. I think it's the coal that I've put on this one. It works much better.
Yeah, he sounds like us. Let's see here. How many PCs have we got going in the studio right now? There's 1, 2, 3, 4 PCs, and then one Mac, which doesn't count as a PC. So we've got we've got 5 computers. Then there's
we have 5 here in the office.
Are you ready to do a broadcast then? We got to get you a studio set up.
Yeah.
The only problem is that our steam-driven internet isn't that good. It's not that powerful enough.
I tell you what, John, you pay to fly me out there. I'll engineer something for you.
Yes. He's offered his services to you, sir. John says he's going to have to think about that one, Matt. Oh, goodness. John, I'm so glad that you caught us right at the tail end of the program. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I'm going to give you the last word. Anything else that you'd like to share with us? And I hope sincerely, by the way, that you'll come back on the Grayling Report sometime when we can talk of more esoteric things.
Well, of course, dear sir. Of course, dear sir. The only thing I can say is levitation, really. I think that's going to be the buzzword at the moment.
Oh, this man. You know, if I were a woman, well, I'd be...
Don't go there.
I'd be a woman.
Just don't go there.
stop
now, please. Okay? I'm listening to you on an international audience, and just do not go there.
Oh, don't worry. I'm a man trapped in a man's body, John. You have nothing to worry about.
I left you because your wonderful repertoire was so flowy that I decided not to call in earlier. And as you were going to take a break anyway and listen to...
Well, I don't take...
I might ring you guys later on when I've actually woken up, but... No, I thought I'd jump in now and say hello, and then I can go and do my horses and do my other bits and pieces.
Well, we're very glad for that, John. Always glad to have you call in as a correspondent on the Grayling Report. Next time, we'll do a pre-record so that it's during a suitable time of the morning for you just as well. I know that you're it's good 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning over there in Luxor right now. You're a real trooper, sir, and we appreciate that.
No problem, sir. No problem at all.
My friend,
it's been a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure. John Ward, ladies and gentlemen, archaeologist and the man behind the Sirius Project, live from Luxor, Egypt. Always our pleasure to have him here on the Grayling Report. And with that will have to be the final word for this evening's edition of the Grayling Report. To all of you out there in Grayling land, thank you so much for joining us on this special election edition of the Grayling Report. We're going to wrap up the podcast right now, but we'll continue to bring you live election coverage on into the evening for a little while longer. So those of you who are listening live, you're in for quite a, quite a program. It's going to be your alternative source for election coverage throughout the evening. So just sit back, get another drink, call all your friends, and tell them to tune in live. It is the Grayling Report. I'm Micah Hanks, continuing on. And for the rest of you, signing off, stay strange out there.